Good afternoon, my esteemed colleagues and committee members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. I am here presenting LD 534, which is an act to clarify the rights of crime victims and witnesses regarding professional investigators' communications. This bill came to my attention from Maine Prosecutors Association, and I will let them speak more eloquently about some of the circumstances that surround this, but essentially this bill is designed to make sure that victims of crime understand who they're being interviewed by and the reasons for those interviews, and are able to participate in that process with informed consent, essentially, is what I would say with that. I'm happy to answer any questions, but really I don't have a whole heck of a lot of answers for you. So unless there are any burning questions of me, I would prefer to turn this over to some of the proponents of this bill, and then we can go to the opponents of this bill. And I am anxiously awaiting the public testimony so that I can form an opinion of how best to deal with the problem of victims of crime being comfortable and voluntarily participating in the process and not being in a situation that could be equated to duress or confusion or just something other than informed consent. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Representative Hawkins?
Thank you much.
Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor of this bill? Welcome.
Senator Beebe, Senator Representative Hassenfuss, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. And I'll say thank you to Representative Hassenfuss for sponsoring this bill. But I would ask that you start my clock over because you just started at 1 minute and I need my whole 3 minutes. My name is Shire Burns and I represent the Maine Prosecutors Association, and I'm testifying in support of 534. As many of you have heard me say before, nothing about the criminal legal process is victim-centered or trauma-informed. We actually hear from victims all the time of how they were further traumatized by the process. The MPA is committed to focus specifically on one bill every session to make the criminal legal system a tad bit more bearable for the survivor. Last session, the legislature passed and the governor signed an act to establish a forensic exception to the hearsay rule for forensic interviews of a protected person that allows a forensic interview conducted at a child advocacy center to be interested in evidence. This trauma-informed victim-centered law has tremendously helped holding offenders accountable for their actions and leading to better victim safety outcomes. This session, it is this bill in front of you that can help make the criminal legal process a bit more victim-centered and trauma-informed. Back when I was a domestic violence prosecutor in York County, I had a strangulation case. Defense counsel was in my office. We were going back and forth negotiating the case. Defense counsel made a big deal about how the victim recanted to the PI, the professional investigator, and actually played me the audio recording of the encounter, which actually never happens. I was blown away. The victim had just arrived home. She was walking from her car, holding groceries to her front steps. Without any prior warning, she was approached by this man who started to ask her questions. You could hear the professional investigator repeatedly asking her if the defendant caused her bodily injury under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life. He kept repeatedly asked her that phrase. Well, that phrase is part of the legal definition of strangulation, not common terminology that we use in society. English was not this victim's first language. As you can imagine, she eventually said, no, no. This bill would require that the professional investigator disclose to a victim or witness the following: the purpose of the investigation, the name of the professional investigator's client, the name of any defendant known to the professional investigator's client, and that the victim or witness is not required to communicate with the PI. The conversation would look like this. The purpose of this investigation is to understand what happened on January 1st, 2024. I work for attorney John Smith. Attorney John Smith is representing Joe Schmo. You're not required to speak to me today. Do you mind if I ask you some questions? That is what we are asking out of this law, this courtesy to these victims that were not asked to be put in the system, but are forced to be put in a system. I will say, since the bill was drafted, it actually came to my attention that the private investigators hired by the Public Defender's Office are not licensed professional investigators. They actually have an exception. So as drafted, this bill would not apply to public defenders. That's very problematic because they actually are state employees. So they can actually go to a victim, say, I represent the state of Maine, because they literally, I don't represent the state of Maine. I am hired by the state of Maine, because they literally are hired by the state of Maine. So we would ask for some language, and I do have something drafted just to expand that this would also include any investigators employed by the Maine Commission on Public Defense Services. So for those reasons, and I have a lot more, but I'll stick to my 3 minutes, the MPA supports LD 534.
Yes, Representative
Power. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Burns, for bringing this forward. Certainly not trying to cause any splinter controversy conversation, but how would this apply in cases of ESL, English as a second language? Is there anything in here that deals with those situations?
Yeah, you're right. It happens. I'll say, even in those situations, how a PI corresponds with them now, they may be using some kind of app or something. That's how we see it happen now. I mean, they're still investigating them. Obviously there's limitations, but the PIs use whatever they can, and would say still utilize whatever they're doing. We're not trying to change their practice. I mean, like, hinder their practice. It's literally just like that short conversation. And that usually is done by like the Google Translate is what I've seen them use.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Burns, for being here. So in reading through this, does this affect in any way how PIs would conduct their business when dealing with civil clients?
No.
Only in criminal cases?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor of this legislation? Welcome back.
Yes, ma'am. And I think she filed electronically with that also. Not, I think she did. Mary Ann. Senator Beebe Center, Representative Hassenfass, and honorable members of the Joint Standing Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Again, my name is Dale Lancaster. I am the Sheriff of Somerset County and the immediate past president of the Maine Sheriff's Association. I am providing testimony on their behalf. The MSA Legislative Policy Committee has taken a unanimous position of support for LD 534, an act to clarify the rights of crime victims and witnesses regarding professional investigator communications. Before a professional investigator seeks information from a witness, it's imperative that the witness understand how the information in that interview will be used. The ethical approach is to be fully transparent and identify how the interview report will be shared and who the client is before the interview begins. Witnesses may not understand the process and inevitably provide an interview to a professional investigator, not understanding that they have the right to refuse to speak with a PI. There are some discussions about expanding the private investigator's disclosure to offer a little more detail. We would like to ensure that victims understand the investigator is providing services on behalf of the Maine Commission of Public Defender Service by adding this language to Section 117A MSRA 2110 2.B. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this legislation? Thanks.
Senator Beebe Center, Representative Hassenfuss, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. My name is Ross Whitford, and I'm a victim witness coordinator with the Penobscot County District Attorney's Office. I'm testifying today in support of LD 534. My job is to work with victims of crime and to guide them through the criminal legal process. I spend my days answering questions by phone or in court providing emotional support. Survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault who have had their trust in others so utterly broken often have questions and concerns in regards to how they can plan for their safety and the safety of their immediate family. I'm occasionally asked about the involvement of professional or private investigators. In these instances, victims are often confused as to who these private investigators work for. And on more than one occasion, victims have reached out to tell me that they've just talked with an investigator and that they hope the information that they provided to them will be helpful in our case. These victims are often mortified to hear that we do not hire private investigators and that they are only hired by the defense. In one case involving multiple charges of unlawful sexual touching, a private investigator called and showed up to a house of a juvenile victim to ask their parent if they could speak to the juvenile. That request was denied on multiple occasions by both parents and victim. Thankfully, the family reached out to me quickly to ask if the private investigator had been hired by the prosecution, and I was able to tell them that they had not. In another case involving theft and forgery charges, the victim's brother-in-law, who was a listed witness on the case, received text messages from an unknown number that the victim believed were suspicious and wanted to know if they should interact with the sender or not. In both cases, the private investigator had stated that they were working on the case and that they were trying to gather additional information, but did not clarify in what capacity or for what attorney. In another instance, I answered a call from a victim saying they no longer wanted to pursue charges against the defendant because they just talked to the private investigator who had been able to clarify things for the victim. In all of these cases, as well as in others, victims are unsure of what they should do and what they're required to do. I work hard every day to develop relations with victims to develop a degree of transparency with the criminal justice system, and I'm concerned that private investigators muddy that transparency. I believe this bill will give clarity to victims on who it is they're talking to and exactly who will benefit from speaking with a private investigator, the defendant. For these reasons, I ask you to support LD 534. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Being none, thank you very much.
Thanks, Senator.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak for this legislation? Welcome.
Senator Beebe Center, Representative Hassenfuss, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. My name is Lynn Talbot. I'm a victim witness advocate in the Knox County District Attorney's Office. I've been in that role for 27 years, and I am testifying in support of LD 534. It is extremely common to have professional investigators reach out to crime victims as they go through the criminal justice process. It is most common when the crime is associated with domestic violence or sexual abuse. Part of my job is to keep those crime victims informed of the process and connect them with community partners to engage with different support systems. In my thousands of conversations with crime victims, very often victims believe that the professional investigator that they spoke with works for the prosecution because they say they are working for the state. Usually that's when the defense attorneys have applied for funding, so that can be a slippery slope. I would go on to say that more than half of the victims I have communicated with, where a professional investigator has been retained in the case, believe that the professional investigator works for the district attorney's office. This is alarming for many reasons. First, transparency with crime victims, especially victims that have endured trauma through their victimization, is very important. All aspects of the criminal justice process need to be clear, including what role each person has in the process. There should never be gray lines on who someone is communicating with and the purpose of that communication. Second, crime victims are more likely to disclose confidential safety planning information to a professional investigator if the crime victims think they are associated with the district attorney's office. 17A MRS 2109 and 16 MRS 53-C provides the that communications by a victim or a victim witness advocate are privileged, subject to exceptions. For instance, if a victim tells me she is now living with a friend or at a confidential shelter, that is information I would keep confidential. That safety planning information could easily be shared with a professional investigator that shows up at the victim's place of employment, says they won't bother her now at work, but they could stop by where she is living tonight. If that victim believes she is speaking with the district attorney's office, she might freely give up her new address, which would then be shared with her abuser. In my role as a victim witness advocate, I have had to relay messages for professional investigators to stop contacting a victim at their request. Currently, when a victim says go away to a professional investigator, they then may show up at her place of work, education, child soccer game the next day, or continue to call and or text her. When a victim says stop, it needs to stop. This bill will allow a victim to have some control over their everyday life and safety when they have been forced to be a part of the criminal justice system they never wanted to be a part of. For those reasons, I ask you to support LD 534.
Questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In reference to this new bill, 534, what happens to the private investigator if he doesn't follow the rules?
I believe that would be a question for Shira.
If you don't know, we'll get to it eventually.
Okay. Sorry. My apologies.
Good afternoon, Senator Beebe Center, Representative Hassenfuss, members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. My name is Matt Morgan. I'm the president-elect of the Maine Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. MACDL is here in opposition to LD 534 for two primary reasons. The first being that this bill is unnecessary. The answer for what would happen if a private investigator were to misrepresent his or her role and claim they worked for the state when they didn't, or if a private investigator were to harass an alleged victim or witness by repeatedly going to their place of work or school or children's soccer game, is that a complaint should be made. And included in our testimony is the website to the complaint board that oversees private investigator behavior. And with a click of a link, the victim witness advocates who testified about these cases could be submitting complaints as we sit here today about private investigators and this alleged conduct. These complaint boards are a major part of our structure here in the state of Maine. Attorneys are subject to oversight by complaint boards. Insurance agents are, nurses are, doctors are. We trust these adjudicatory boards. The legislature's empowered this board, which, by the way, is made up of two members of the Maine State Police, one member recommended by the Attorney General, and three members of the public, and one local or county law enforcement administrator. And those people have been empowered by legislation found in Title 32 to protect the public by improving the standards relative to the practice of private investigation and to protect the public from unqualified practitioners. Simply put, this is a problem that the legislature has already solved. And new complaints about the defender's office, if they are true, then those complaints should be submitted to the board. And if those private investigators are actually doing the things that are claimed, then they should likely be punished by their board if the complaints are made. The rules set forth in the statute make it clear misrepresentation and harassment, the two things we've heard about here today, are strictly prohibited. More importantly, from our perspective, or equally importantly, is that what this bill does is creates an uneven playing field between civil litigants, for starters, who apparently are allowed to have their investigators ask questions, in any way they want. So their rights are more than defendants who have due process rights under our state and federal constitutions. And it creates an unlevel, uneven playing field with law enforcement who aren't bound by these. Law enforcement are allowed to misrepresent things, to claim they have evidence that doesn't exist in terms of their interviews of people. And they don't have to go through a checklist before they walk up to a stranger and try to talk with them. It's my understanding some private investigators are here today and they can talk about what that looks like on the ground. But so long as they're following their board rules, they should be entitled to properly identify themselves and then go through a normal conversation with someone. And during that process, that person is going to understand what they're there for. If they're making misrepresentations or harassment, then there's a complaint process in place, and that complaint process should be followed by the complaining parties. And for those reasons, MACDL opposes LD 534. And I apologize about the formatting of my written testimony. It was made on a PC and printed on a Mac, and somewhere in between it turned out the way it did, but the words are all there. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Just a moment.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Nunnig.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Misrepresentation is in the eye of the beholder, I take it. If I come to you and you're a victim and I say to you, I'm here to investigate the problem that you had, I'm terribly sorry about that. Can you tell me more about what happened on that day? I haven't somehow misrepresented who I'm working for. I haven't told you who I'm working for. I've just said, I'm here investigating. Terrible thing happened to you. I've got your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you explain to me when, in fact, you're working for the other team?
Understood. And I don't think we've heard examples of that. And the private investigators who I've talked to have told me that in no uncertain terms, starting a conversation with a stranger that way, I think we can both agree from a common sense perspective, the response would be, and who are you, sir? Private investigators do identify who they work for. The complaint I'm hearing is that now that a state public defender office exists, some private investigators are saying they work for the state. If that's happening, I think that could be a legitimate misrepresentation. And I think that that's something that this complaint board has rulemaking authority to address. And that they also can deal with through a disciplinary process. So in that case, I believe there is a possible misrepresentation.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions? Yes. Representative Bunker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not familiar with the oversight group from licensing. Can you, in your knowledge, can you advise how timely it is from a complaint coming from a member of the public to them to corrective action getting back to the investigators?
I don't have specific experience with this board. I can only tell you my experience with other boards, and it varies. Some boards, like the nursing board, meet quite regularly. I think it's maybe monthly or bi-monthly. Other boards, like licensed massage therapists, may only meet a couple times a year. I'm unsure how frequently the board for private investigators meets. If it's not meeting frequently enough, then that certainly is an amendment to a bill. But in any event, it exists. It's being created legislatively. My understanding was that it must meet at least once a year, according to the statute. I do not know in practice how frequently it meets.
Good question for work session, please.
Okay. Yep. Well, you'll attend the work session.
If my schedule allows. It was very difficult to get here today. I'm happy I could.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this legislation? Mr. John Drow, I will get to you next, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Senator Beebe Center, Representative Hassenfuss, the committee. My name is just as difficult to say as Representative Hassenfuss. My name is Paul Rabashkin. I'm a licensed private professional investigator in Maine and have been so since August of 2018. I oppose LD 534. I have a varied experience in law enforcement, having worked for the Buxton, Hollowell, and Wiscasset police departments, my last assignment being the full-time investigator at the Two Bridges Regional Jail. As a police officer and correctional investigator, I honed a straightforward approach to interviews, regularly obtaining confessions in a complex environment. I now work extensively for defense attorneys, conducting investigations in criminal cases. I'm writing this memo to give you a boots-on-the-ground perspective of how I and many of the professional investigators I know conduct investigations. no offense to the prosecutor's office that has testified here, I make it very clear that I don't work for the prosecutor's office, and that I am not a police officer. But I would like to gather information about an incident that the person may have been involved in. I will often tell people that I want to know the good, bad, and the ugly, so I can give the attorney that I work for the best picture of what happened. I am often able to obtain more information than the initial law enforcement response was able to. The laws already govern professional investigators state that I cannot identify myself as a law enforcement officer and provide a mechanism to suspend or revoke my license should I violate this or numerous other requirements. The steps required by LD 534 would make me unable to obtain information from any interview. Things I would normally work into a casual conversation would have to be a laundry list of requirements read to the person before I even ask a question. These requirements are much more restrictive than requirements placed on law enforcement officers having a voluntary interaction with a person. I always have erred on the side of solving problems at the lowest level possible. I don't want my name to be associated with case law. Creating a law to address this issue causes many more issues than it intends to fix. I firmly believe that a short training would be much more appropriate than a new law that would negatively affect the clients that I work for. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. John? Yes. Representative Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So based on your testimony, you said that these would make it, and I'm looking for the exact words, but I think it was not possible to do your job. I don't have, can't find it, but that may not be your exact words. Sure. So the way I'm looking at the bill under Section 2, A, B, C, and D, those are the four requirements of things that you would have to say. Which of those four, any or all of them, which of those four would not make it possible to do your job?
I think it's more the process than a specific four. I'm not going to get any information out of somebody if I have to stand there in a voluntary interaction. You know, I would compare it almost to a custodial interaction, whereas, say, I was still a law enforcement officer, I'm reading Miranda to somebody, where I have to sit there and go through a checklist. Like, those things might get accomplished in my conversation with somebody, but when I have a 10-minute introduction, trying to explain who I am and why I'm there, people are just going to tune out and not want to be interviewed.
But you said in your testimony, you already told them that, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing, and I need to do this for an attorney because of this reason. And you do that in a casual conversational tone or manner, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes.
Could you not accomplish those four things in the same casual conversational tone as part of your introduction without standing there and being robotic and by a checklist? Is that not possible?
The way I read the proposed law is that it would have to be the checklist and more robotic than just a casual conversation. I mean, prior to my testimony here today, I heard a lot of bad interviews. I still think that training for people that are working for either PDS, the defender's office, on how to identify yourself, how to speak to people,
so that could
probably solve these problems rather than my license can already be suspended. It seems redundant, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So you're saying it could be redundant. So you could ask those things in a casual conversation, in a non-confrontational manner. And you're saying that there's no particular thing in there that would prohibit you from doing your jobs if they were done correctly without offsetting a possible interviewee.
If I had the checklist, I'd have to see it in practice. I don't really see that an interview would go all that well if I have a 10-minute introduction to how I'm talking to somebody.
All right, but I understand what you're saying, but we're talking about four things. You think that asking or saying four things would take 10 minutes?
Figure of speech, I guess. Okay. I just think it would.
Fair enough. All right, thank you.
It wouldn't be a smooth conversation, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. John Drow, would you like to offer your testimony?
That would please be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Beebe Center and Chair Representative Hospice, I am a district defender up in Aroostook County with FCPS. I'd like to testify against this bill. The primary reason for it is because it's largely redundant. I'm trying to pull it back up again, but I walked away from it for a second. As it stands, the investigators we have within our office must already indicate purpose of their investigation, the name of their professional investigator's client, who they're representing. And the only thing that's really different is the asking them not to communicate, whether or not they want to communicate without telling us they don't have to. As a matter of course, our investigator tells people that they don't have to speak with them. And I'm speaking, of course, for hired investigators under MCPDS, because that's who we have in our office. We already do these things, and we're governed. Our investigator is governed by our bar rules. So I'm supervising an investigator, and Rule 4.3 says an unrepresented person, particularly one not experienced in dealing with legal matters, might assume that a lawyer is disinterested in loyalties or is disinterested authority on the law, even when the lawyer represents a client. In order to avoid a misunderstanding, a lawyer will typically need to identify the client and, where necessary, explain the client has interests opposed to those of the unrepresented person. So our investigators working in our offices are operating under our bar rules. There are agents working for us. So they need to follow with that, and we ensure that they do. I have not heard any complaints specifically about any of our investigators in our office. And the proposed statute kind of took us by surprise, because we don't believe we've had any issues with this. As far as the fourth piece, which is the telling somebody they're not required to talk to us, that is currently discretion of the investigator. But I think it's worth noting, as been noting by the folks from MACDL, that this is something that police officers do not have to concern themselves with in doing an investigation. It's also something that investigators working in the private field, or private civil side, don't have to concern themselves with. It's a little disconcerting that we are tying the hands, or we're adding a step for folks who are accused of crime that we don't do for folks who are not accused of a crime. We should be not making it harder to investigate on behalf of people accused of crimes who are still, at the time when the investigations happening, considered innocent. So for those reasons, I ask that this committee find that vote ought not to pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. John Jerome? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this legislation?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just standing in one. I'll be testifying for the other.
Welcome.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Beebe Center. Respective members of the committee, my name is Tim Walton. I reside in the town of Livermore, and I'm here representing my client, Merrill's Investigations and Security Services, my client of 10 years. I'm supplying testimony on behalf of Mike Harrington Jr., vice president of the company, and Zach Carlton, the director of field operations, with 27 years and 16 years, respectively, in the profession. I've been in my profession for 27 years, and I've never had to get up and defend or promote the reputation of my client. It's always been to oppose or support a piece of legislation. Today, I find myself in that position with such a broad brush being painted against professional. The term professional is key. Professional licensed investigators is just wrong. Merrill's is, in my opinion, the best company in the state, certainly the largest, but there are many more great investigators out there that do a great job every day, and ethically as well. The speakers before me did a great job. It's great to see an investigator here. And the gentleman before him talked about the oversight board as well. There's a couple different trade associations in for professional investigators. Merrill's Mike Arrington Jr. is the president of PLIM, the Professional License Investigators of Maine. And they, along with others, helped craft the legislation that formed the Oversight Board, very involved with it. And when it was formed, and there's been tweaks to it since, I believe that they were involved with as well. They're no, they've been in front of this committee and others here at the State House of Public Policy Matters. They're very involved, always trying to improve their profession. I am not an investigator, as many of you know. In fact, I don't think you'd want me to be. So I appreciate the committee not asking me questions, but I will have at least Mr. Harrington and possibly Mr. Carlton or others here with me at the work session. And truly appreciate the committee's time, and we'll be happy to answer no questions if you have any.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this legislation? Is there anyone that would like to speak neither for nor against this legislation? Please.
I'm David Sowers from Friendship, Senator Beebe, Senator Representative Hassenfuss, and members of the committee. I don't have prepared comments here, but I've been hearing what has been said here. It seems to me, from a common sense point of view, that we'd like to have victims of crimes begin given the same rights and considerations and protections of those who are accused of crimes. So someone being interviewed or asked questions by somebody that they don't know without given appropriate advice as to how to deal with that, they can compromise their situation, and there ought to be protections for them. So whatever they are, it's up to you to decide, but it doesn't sound like they're as well protected as we've heard. Thank you.
Would you like to answer any questions?
Oh.
Are there any questions? Oh, I guess you got off. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak neither for nor against this legislation? We'll end hearing on this bill, and we will go to the next bill.